Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This week on Dr. Drew After Dark.
The embarrassing thing is my parents being like, this guy with CTE is onto something. This guy with the massive brain bleed. My mom would like yell at them on the phone, you're headed for hell.
Oh.
And thank you for sending that money. It's so embarrassing, but as an adult, I have learned so much today in a very real way.
I'm glad to have been a part of it.
Welcome to Dr. Drew After Dark. Please be advised that Dr. Drew After Dark may contain sexually oriented content and be unsuitable for young children.
Hey, welcome everybody. Dr. After Dark, 818-253-1693. And of course, the email is drdrewafterdark@gmail.com. We appreciate them. Keep them coming and support the people that support us. Today, the guest is Moses Storm from straight in from Michigan.
Yeah.
Originally
from Michigan.
Originally. Where should we send people? You've got so much stuff. You've done all the comedic acting. You've done regular acting. You stand up, obviously.
I think stand up and acting is probably the main thing that I do right now. If you're like, where's
should
the
we send people to
from?
A website or?
I think I use social media. It feels, I don't know, for whatever reason, my generation, the personal website is. It feels like it's dated.
They don't do that anymore.
Yeah, even a card, be like, well, a piece of paper? What do you do? I had cards, and I gave out two, and then I stopped.
Yeah, I'm not
them
a
out.
Card person either. I never was.
It's
it
odd.
Seems weird. It's odd.
It's odd. Yeah. I think it was like, what was it? Mitch Hedberg. It's like, here's a little piece of trash. Was his joke about it. But yeah, so just Moses Storm across Instagram, TikTok, everything.
Just one word?
Yeah.
Storm, like.
And no one else wants that name. So I never have to be like Moses Storm, 1, 2, 3.
So you have a really interesting story. Do you mind getting into it a little bit? It's fascinating.
Not at all.
So you started in Kalamazoo, Michigan, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then you kind of traveled, right?
Yeah.
And it was your parents. They were interesting people. They were super religious.
Very religious. The kind of religious where they're like, other religions are not going hard enough. We can do this better.
And
we could be more extreme.
The way or something? Is that what they...
So, yes, it was. Yes and no. You're going to get a lot of confusing answers today.
I love it. So it gives me a chance to dig in a little further. So was the way something made up?
So my parents helped start their own religion that was a mixture of Judaism and Catholicism.
They helped start it?
Yes. So it was actually started by... my uncle on my mom's side.
Before they got involved?
Before they got involved. Well, even before my dad got involved, because my mom is the one that was really into it. Dad's more passive. A person who is very conflict adverse. So he kind of went along with it versus being like excited.
So it was your mom's uncle, right? Your great uncle.
Yeah.
And was it in Michigan, like a local thing in Michigan?
Yes.
And
he was in Michigan. His origin story is like he played for Michigan State, and he was like a star running back, and then he got hurt, and then God himself came onto the football field and said, your whole career is over. Your identity as a football player, this is jock, it's over.
What was the injury?
I think he tore his ACL.
Was it a head injury or something?
Wasn't, well, the more we get into this, the more I'm like, oh, we're talking about CTE. Drew, I think this is 100% CTE.
It has that quality, but it
which
also...
Which is impressive for him. If he started it, like, good for you if you get followers. The embarrassing thing is my parents being like, this guy with CTE is onto something. This guy with the massive brain bleed, we should give up our entire possessions, our home, and move
follow
into
that
a brain
guy. Follow that guy. Well... I will tell you, it's not the first time humans have done stuff like that.
Yes.
In fact, I think you ought to get a hold of Matt and Trey. I have a follow-on for the Book of Mormon.
Yeah.
It could be you guys.
Oh, my God. So I do look at cults. This is probably the most embarrassing thing. Like, you look at these, like, Mormonism, which they've transcended cult, now they're into religion.
Right. And there's a sociologist out there, I forget his name right now. It's like Weiss or something. He chronicled where religions come from. And they usually start as a cult, or he calls it a cult anyway. And then they graduate into sect and then religion. And
it's the best
thing
that
can happen. And then they fight with other religions.
Right. And then you start holy wars, and then those people start getting elected. So the best thing that could happen is your cult could become a religion. The great consolation prize is if your cult gets a Netflix special.
That's
it's
nice.
It's another way to like, it's a consolation prize.
Yeah,
so I think that's what I'm going for with this. But they were so profoundly unsuccessful. It never went well. There's no episode 2 of the documentary where it's like, and everyone was joining and we had celebrities and there was people doing yoga and the numbers grew and grew. It shrank and shrank and just was 15 years of just suffering, of it not going well, extreme poverty, strife, people throwing things at us, yelling at us on the street because we were yelling first.
So they'd go out and proselytize? Is that what
happened? So the one, they was called The Way originally, but then
That was the CTE gentleman's way.
Yes. Yes, okay. He was technically calling it The Way, but it was based on the King James Version of the Bible, heavy focus on the Book of Revelation. The fire, brimstone, God's getting a doomsday call.
The one book that everyone is not sure actually was part of the Bible.
Right. They're like, is this attack on after? They could tell you, like, you know, you're like lying and retelling a story. You could tell it's boring and add things on.
Yeah, sure.
They did like live readings of the Bible and then someone panicked and like, and then the earth opens up and they get swallowed. So really heavy focus on the Book of Revelation. Growing up as a kid, I was always like, oh, God's going to end the world. Without exaggerating, like, oh, maybe in like 30 days from now.
Did you have a day set? And would you have a rapture, anticipate the rapture? Or
no. That is the one saving grace.
They wouldn't go in the backyard and sit on lawn chairs and wait for the rapture.
Okay. I don't understand that kind of confidence, though, because it is a very common cult thing where you will pick a date to humiliate yourself on. Like, you know it's not going to happen.
So,
Or is the idea that they're going to manifest...
No, they believe something's coming. You had the good sense to question things, but a lot of people go right with it.
So they never had a hard date, but it was always like very vague. Like, oh, it's coming. You know, you've talked to people with addiction problems. They're like, you know, they're vague on their plans.
Yes.
What they're going to do. So it was all
was
that.
There, was there addiction in the family? Is that?
I wish.
That would explain it at least.
I wish. It's a very insensitive thing to say because of how much pain addiction caused. Later, yes, with my siblings.
How many kids were there? Five kids being carted around? Oh my goodness.
Yes. And I wish there was addiction because I at least have more answers.
Yes.
For this stuff of like, oh, it makes sense. That evil fentanyl got it. But it's just like adults with bad ideas. Five siblings all in a bus, not like a HGTV show converted bus or even the studio, just like a old Greyhound bus that we could kind of afford, ripped the seats out of, and then my dad tried to build it up into a mobile home, and didn't really work that well. Wasn't the best.
Were there just five cots on the floor or something? Five
mattresses? He built bunk beds, actually.
Okay.
But he forgot to measure for the height of a mattress when he built the bunks. So there's about 2 inches of clearance from your nose to the unsanded top part of the bottom bunk. So we would travel around that, and the idea was to spread the word of this cult by street preaching, going out with large neon signs that say, like, you're headed for hell, church is wrong, government's wrong. And
I got that right.
Any organized religion is wrong, priest, pastor, rabbi.
And did they have a following at one point?
No.
It just kept shrinking.
So there was three families total, and there's five kids in mine. Five kids in the other family that was Texas-based, and then eight kids in my great uncle's. So they just like made members. But to my knowledge, I cannot think of anyone that they recruited. And it's a really abrasive way to, because we're literally outside with neon signs outside of like Lollapalooza or Spring Break in Panama City, Florida, yelling at people.
And so those guys still exist, but they're not, they are spinoffs, so they're not part of the Way?
No, so The Way came along, they and a way more successful cult came along called The Way.
Oh.
So my parents had to drop the name.
Oh.
And in lieu of like renaming it, they didn't have the confidence to do that. So they just like, it was called, it would be nothing. I was like, oh, so you called nothing? No, nothing. There's no name. There's no way to follow up on this. There's no way.
And would
there's
you
no be, landing page.
Would you be one of the yelling people? Would you?
Yeah. Which is adorable because we'd have to do it at two. It was considered.
Age two?
Yeah.
Oh my goodness.
So it was considered blessed. If, like the younger you could do it, the more you could witness for God. And it's not just isolated to street preaching with the neon signs passing out pamphlets. Sometimes you'd be forced where I would feel my back being pushed and we're in a Walmart. My mom would like, go up and tell that woman that she's headed for hell.
Oh. So, what was the youngest at which you had done that?
Two.
Oh,
I was
imagine?
And I was like being rewarded. There was like this reward system. Like, wow, he's so articulate at two. You're smart.
Could you imagine right now a 2-year-old coming up to you, or even a 5-year-old, 10-year-old?
I would be so disarmed because a 2-year-old's one, they hide behind their mom's knee.
Yeah.
They don't come up to you.
It would
so
be wild.
Like, hi, little buddy.
Yeah.
And I have a speech impediment as a 2-year-old. So I'm like, you're hell for hell. That's adorable. Terrifying message.
Wow.
Yeah.
And so there were 18 kids amongst the three families. Did anybody stay with it?
Nobody stayed with it.
are the adults all?
Well, I don't talk to my great uncle and his kids, which are now like they're in their 30s and 40s now. And it's really odd because we were so isolated from the world. We weren't allowed to have any friends, girlfriends, boyfriends. No outside contact, because why would you make a friendship? Because these people are part of Satan. They're going to corrupt you, and this is all going to be over.
You're on the move anyway.
Yeah.
Yeah, you're in your van.
Also, it's the mid-90s, so there's not the internet or cell phones yet. So the message is really getting diluted. There's no cohesive message. There's no meeting point. Like, even Jehovah's Witnesses, they at least have all those shit ton of meetings that they go to.
Right.
So you can stay on brand. So
stay on brand. But so what happened to your mom? Is she still out there doing it?
So she was the one, she was very popular in high school. Homecoming queen. Was
in Michigan.
Very in shape. Yeah. So I think after high school, when she, because she got pregnant, my dad, they weren't in love. They got pregnant.
They were not in love.
Not in love.
Did they end up in love in any way?
So I don't, it's hard because I don't know how much is my mom shit talking and how much is reality, but my dad was gay when they met. And I know it gets so messy, but so religious that he couldn't accept it. It was seen as this great sin. He hated himself for that.
Was she aware of this, or is this something that came out later?
And as a very attractive person in high school, Lisa conquered that small town, was like the greatest challenge.
To convert this guy.
I got the star of the football team. If I could get that gay guy.
Oh, I see.
So,
the gay guy and convert him to straight? Is that one of her little...
Yes.
Oh,
because
okay.
He wanted it too. Well, he thought he wanted it to be like,
help me.
I'll cure it. Yeah. If I just do it, then that'll be a good...
Just pray the gay away.
Yeah. You know, like broccoli. Like, you don't know until you try. So then the first time that they had sex, you got pregnant.
Wow. If it weren't so sad, it would be hysterical. But
right?
It's so
it
sad.
It is funny because it is sad.
And it's also... I really have concerns about people that, well, was she preying on him, do you think? Or I don't know. Or she really just caught up in a religious thing? And
I guess I'm speculating a lot. It's unfair to say that's what she was doing.
Yeah. But
I think just what I know about archetypes of people and making broad brushstrokes, I would say, like, oh, yeah, this is someone that was getting validated for their looks, had really conquered this small town.
Small town was Kalamazoo or somewhere else? Okay.
It was before Pfizer really put them on the map, Kellogg's. But she's incredibly charismatic. If you met her right now, you'd be like, that woman is great. She's intelligent. She's kind. She's funny. So charismatic. So charming. She should have been the leader. So
of the way.
Of the way.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But she kind of was, it sounds like. She dragged everybody out.
In our sect.
I mean, your
in
little
our very
family
disbanded
sect.
Sect. Yeah.
Okay, keep going.
So she's able to convince my dad to go along with that. They have a baby. There was no question of like, should we get...
I guess they need you a little closer to the mic.
They never thought like, oh, should we, you know, keep the baby?
Meaning,
it was just...
Was that you?
No, that was my oldest sister.
Okay.
I'm the youngest.
Okay.
So it was just, how soon can we get a wedding dress before the baby bump starts showing?
Yes.
It was just no question.
And then the grandparents, did you know them?
Yes, my grandparents. Yeah, so they're very Catholic, my mom's side.
Were they freaked out about this sect?
Oh yeah, absolutely. Oh. So and my mom would like yell at them on the phone, "You're headed for hell."
Oh.
And thank you for sending that money. So yeah, we were like cut off from them for a very long time, unless we desperately needed money, which would come up all the time.
Mm.
And then we would come crawling back.
But that both sets of grandparents were Catholic and sources of support?
Jewish on my dad's side. But,
oh.
But practicing Jews don't think you're Jewish if your dad is Jewish.
Sometimes.
I was Jewish enough to go on Birthright.
Ooh,
which we
yeah.
get a free trip
yeah,
to Israel.
Yeah, my daughter did that, yeah.
And a bunch of propaganda mixed yes, in there to yes. take down the Palestinian people. But I'm Jewish enough for the free trip, but Jews would say I'm not Jewish. Also was circumcised twice.
Twice? Well, hang on a second. So that's because your mom isn't Jewish. You're...
Yeah.
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 And circumcised twice?
So they were anti-government, anti-public school system, private school system, education. So I've never been to school.
Your mom...
Ever.
Your mom taught everybody, right? The whole group?
Yes. And, well, even that's generous. There was no school. I couldn't
there was
read
no
or write
online.
Until I was 16.
Oh, no kidding.
Stats.
What did she think was going to happen?
The world's going to be over. There's
yeah,
no
who
accountability.
Cares?
It's right. like people like rack up credit card debt when they're alone. It's like, I got no family. So, and they also don't believe in modern medicine.
Oh, boy.
So she's here now. She's going to roast you about your degree, Dr. Drew.
Oh, my goodness.
So no hospitals. We are not allowed to go to hospitals.
She would fascinate the hell out of me. I mean, she really would, I'm sure.
I would be honestly very interesting for you two to talk.
Yeah.
Because you're so level-headed and you don't get very emotional in arguments. And I think she could out-emotion you in any place. But I think you're just by logic and just showing the empathy that you show.
Yeah, yeah.
Because I was familiar with Loveline, just calling in and people would be in these manic states. Or
how did you manage to listen to Loveline in the world you lived in?
Yes, because we were not allowed to watch TV, consume any media. So at the point where the cult had disbanded and was really disorganized and my parents broke up, we were all secretly living in a windowless garage with no running water and pooping in trash bags. That's a detail you needed.
I did.
And we had a little radio that we had found in the trash, and my two older brothers and I would secretly listen to
But how
the
secretly
show.
If every there are six of you living in this shed?
She lived with her new boyfriend in the main house part,
what?
And then we were in the detached garage. I need you to talk to her. We're going to get her on speakerphone.
Oh, my God.
We're going to do an intervention.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah, so
were there other kids living in the house, like his kids or anything?
No. No, the new boyfriend was 25, and she
was
39 at the time. So that's not, you know,
not too
the worst.
Crazy.
But still, they were like, we're going to start a band in Venice Beach.
You were in L.A. at that point?
Yeah.
And
but it wasn't like the Venice Beach now where it's like a Whole Foods that's outside.
Yeah,
this
yeah.
was like
real. There was, well, it was actually sort of gang-ridden back in those
it
days.
It was. So there was gunshots every night, and we were the worst part of Venice Beach where if you live on an alley, that's the worst because they do drug deals down there. People run from the cops down there. Multiple shootings.
But she had the five kids in a single room.
In a single room.
And didn't somebody wonder why these kids aren't at school or... Take issue
all
with
the
it?
Time. He'd be in grocery stores and from as early as I can remember, people like, one, your kids are so well behaved. That was the main comment.
Which is hard to imagine. You know, you should have been coming unglued.
Right.
And screaming and yelling.
But I think it was the fear of the religion.
Oh, my goodness.
So there wasn't like the usual, if you see a kid, they're like grabbing things. Can I have this? From a very early age, had a scarcity mindset, was very aware that we were poor. Was also very afraid of acting out or doing anything that was, you know, too big or seen like as against a religion. And then, yes, constantly we were being called out by other parents and just adults saying, why aren't your kids where kids are? Why are they here?
Because
also, why are you guys in a dumpster
behind
the grocery store?
Right. And by the way, we're going to be the Partridge Family.
Yeah.
And did that happen?
That happened all the time.
Because, no. Did they start the band or whatever they were
no,
doing?
No, I wish. Like, all these things, even the addiction, all these things would help my adult life now to have some reference point.
Did your dad, so they divorced, right?
Yeah.
Isn't that going to send them to hell also?
Right? And you're not allowed to remarry?
They made an exception, I guess.
Did
that poor man get a chance to be gay?
Briefly, and then now he is back with a wife that is so similar to my mom.
Wow.
Meaning my mom and her do not get along at all.
Perfect.
She's a very, very bullheaded woman. Where's the pants in that relationship?
Trying to get him straight again, literally.
Yeah, scare him straight through love.
Wow, this is such...
So circumcised twice.
I hope you write a book or something.
Where do I start? It's too many unusuals.
You start with... Your earliest memory of walking up to a woman and telling her she's going to be going to hell. That's where you start.
Okay.
And then you go from there.
And then we get to second circumcision.
I mean, yeah. Tell me about that.
Okay. Well, so then we were in Ohio at this time when I was born, physically born. So then we go to a Jewish temple. And I guess if you make an appointment, if you're not going to go to a hospital, the only other place you could do a circumcision.
Get a bris.
Yeah. So we went to that, and it was the rabbi was 33. It was his first time doing it.
Oh shit!
He had a little bit of ceremonial wine. He was still so nervous. He kept having more wine, and then he got to the point where his hand was shaking so much.
Is this what your parents described?
Yeah, it's like, why do I need to know this story? Right?
Yes.
Yeah. But so then they had to drive 4.5 hours to the next temple to finish the job because they were making him more nervous by saying, hey, your hand's shaking a lot. Are you sure that's supposed to happen? Are you sure you're supposed to do
finish
that?
Finish the job.
So I guess he cut half of it off. This sounds like a love line call. So yes. You ever microwave a hot dog?
and it splits. Yes. No, that's your penis.
That's your penis.
Cracking your dick.
It's more of like a sea squid tentacle thing.
So did it turn out okay?
It turned out okay. Okay. You're young enough where it's like there's no
scars. There's something wrong with the story.
Anything.
It's not quite working yet.
Yeah.
I think the first guy turned back right away. That's
yeah, he turned
bet.
Back right away.
Yeah, okay.
Anyway, so yeah, I think I was just young enough to be like, oh, it's going to heal fine.
Yeah.
And I also think he knew what he was doing. He was just nervous by my parents, like, over his shoulder.
Telling him he's going to hell.
Yeah. You're going to hell. Yeah, it's just this whole Jewish faith. It's a lie.
Can you read and write now effectively?
I can, but now when I'll do acting jobs, you have to do a table read where you essentially get the script for the first time, the more secret of the show is, and you have to cold read for the first time.
Yep.
So I will do my best now, and I'm just a little bit confident enough as an adult to ask them, hey, I really struggle with reading and writing. On top of that, I'm dyslexic and dysgraphic. So can I please get the script in advance? I won't leak it. Just so I don't want to ruin some comedy writer's joke by butchering it and stumbling through the word boat.
Yeah, yeah. So there are a lot of people like yourself, more than people recognize. Adam Carolla was like you. He had a hippie mom that didn't send him to school. He went to some sort of, he said it was a hippie school where you threw dirt clods till sixth grade.
And they still get an F for that?
And when
you got an F in dirt.
And when he went to school, he was like sixth or seventh grade, then he was called, you know, delayed or retarded or whatever, you know, what they used to call it, and was put in ceramics classes the rest of the way through high school. And so when I got to him, he didn't really read. I mean, he kind of could struggle through stuff, but he'd have to look at things well ahead of time and sort of memorize it.
Yeah.
And he's good now. It's surprising to me how much people can catch up.
Well, that's what'd be interested if you knew anything about this, like how much that is in my head now. So if I've told yourself that you don't read and write well, right? And it's this constant anxiety. Yeah. So when I go down to read a piece of paper, now
you're
it's all
anxious.
This self-talk that you've done about, hey.
And I'm sure you have some handicap with it because there are developmental windows when it's easier. You know, it's automatic and you're kind of have to work at it. I'm
very delayed in anything school, but very advanced in yelling at adults.
Yes, which is thus the comedy.
That's basically what comedy is. Dating is where it's just a guy yelling.
Standing on stage and yelling at the audience.
Yeah.
And how did acting happen?
It was honestly the only thing I could do. Mm. That's like a bullshit thing that people say in my industry all the time. Like, stand-up is the only thing I could do. It's like, no, you could work at Taco Bell.
Yeah.
I couldn't. you need a GED for most jobs, most entry-level jobs. You need some form of education. You need to be able to read the menu. I guess you can wash dishes, but even then, you have to have some social skills. And we are not socialized, which I do think is the biggest education that I missed out on.
And does your mom express any regrets, or did any of the kids come down on her for sort of...
I was recently talking to her when I was about to put out the HBO special. And I don't know how she got on this, but she was just waxing out loud about her regrets in life. She goes, you know, if I have three regrets in life, one would be spending so much time in the sun. It just ages you so fast. And then I guess second, it would be not sending your kids to school.
Okay. Well, thanks, Mom.
And then she never got to three. I think she's also dyslexic. But yeah, I think she's got a lot of regret now because now she has the empty nest syndrome. She's seen the pain that it has caused, especially my older siblings.
Yeah. They're struggling.
Yeah, everyone's leveled out now and is a good parent, but...
Is a good parent. You mean they all have kids?
They all have kids.
Oof.
Yeah, because I don't... This is why I had to stop myself from having kids, because a lot of the idea was like, I'm going to get my childhood right.
Yes, be careful.
I'm going to show them.
Yeah, be careful. Whenever, whatever the compensation is, you know, whatever we're making right from our own childhood, it's always not good for the kids. It's a compensation.
It feels like too much pressure to put on the kid. It's never. Yeah. I'm never going to feel all right, and it's a bad reason.
Yeah.
But yes, I think as early as maybe 4 years ago, was like, yes, I definitely want kids. And then recently came to this embarrassing realization.
Well, you could do
just trying
it.
To fix something.
Yeah, but you could also, realizing that, maybe try not to compensate at all. Maybe.
Yeah. Is it enough to not address the behavior and just acknowledge it?
No, but it's better than, you know, being, you know, absolutely sort of invested in, I'm going to make this right. And you know that's going to go.
So then my older siblings, they had obviously problems with addiction.
Your older siblings. And and are they sober now?
Yes. Mm. Yeah.
Everybody out in Michigan? Are they out in Los Angeles?
Everyone kind of spread out since we spent so much time traveling. The world feels pretty small. So New Mexico, Portland, Oregon.
And
some Florida.
And do they all stay in relationship with your mom and your dad?
Or yes.
They do. So that's good. I mean, they do. They haven't sort of been angry and rejecting of everybody.
No. I mean, it's taken some years to come back. Yeah. And then still now it wanes because it was very hard lines in the sands where my mom would cut her own parents off.
Because they were going to hell.
Because they were going to hell. Yeah. So then now we don't feel any guilt towards cutting her off.
Oh, that's interesting. It's always good when the parents that are supporting you financially are the ones that you're most pissed off at. You know,
100%.
As somebody pointed out, Adam pointed out to me the other day that All in the Family, do you have a TV show?
No TV.
All in the Family. He pointed out, he goes, you know, Meathead and the daughter, he was the hero, you know, the Rob Reiner character was the hero. He was the one that knew what was right and what was wrong and what was, you know, appropriate for the age and the racism and the misogyny. Yet they were living in her father's house, and he was the one paying the bills, and he was the one paying the taxes. So interesting.
That is exactly
interesting. Ariel, what's going on?
Hi, Drew. How are you guys today?
We are great. What's up? You're on with. Go ahead.
I'm going to try and unpack this as quickly as I can. I'm curious if you ever feel like it's worth it to address what you think is medical negligence and how to go about that. Our situation is that I saw an OBGYN first pregnancy, wasn't notified until I was 20 weeks pregnant that I had a bicornate uterus that they knew I had at my 9-week ultrasound. I was never treated as high risk. Things just weren't sitting right with me with it. So I sought out another provider that I couldn't get established with until I was 33 weeks pregnant.
Oh boy.
So their scheduling and demands, I had to wait until I was 36 weeks pregnant an ultrasound with them because they're like, yeah, that's weird.
Yeah. And?
So at that point, we discovered a severe intrauterine growth restriction because of my uterus. Less than 2 percentile. And that led to, all the specialists, the biophysical profiles, ultimately having to go to a different city to deliver via C-section that week. After delivery, we found out our son had a TEF, so we had surgery and then a two-week NICU stay. So we're living under a mound of medical debt right now. Mm. And the original GYN wants $1,700 from us still. And we're kind of like, well, we don't feel like you met the standard of care, but we don't know where to go.
Yeah. A malpractice attorney, right?
That's what I'm thinking. I just wonder, I mean, to be honest with you, I'm pretty traumatized from the whole experience. So I'm like, if we bring a lawyer into it, is it worth our time, the emotional energy?
Yeah, it's awful. And I hate, you know, I hate malpractice stuff. It's just an awful thing. But the fact that they're pursuing you for the money after sort of suboptimal care, that's what bothers me here.
But how much can we actually do retroactively? Is it still like you ate the meal at the Olive Garden and you send it back like that wasn't good?
Yes. I mean, the point is that there was bad outcome. There's a bunch of bills because of the bad outcome. The choices they made figured into the bad outcome. Mm-hmm. And at very minimum, they should have the sort of the courtesy to let the bill go. Are you a Medi-Cal patient or Medicaid rather?
No, we're private.
Private insurance too. I mean, so just to understand, the bicornate uterus does not make that big a deal in the pregnancy unless the implantation was way up in the cornu. Okay. Sometimes the bicornu, you still get the middle of the uterus where the implantation can occur and it can be kind of normal. So do we know where the implantation was? Was it up in the corner and that's why there was the intrauterine growth retardation, or did something else cause it?
Yep, he was completely allocated to the top left side of my uterus.
Okay.
Due to where he implanted a super small placenta.
Yeah, it's a mess. My wife had a pregnancy. She's not bicornuate, but she had a corneal pregnancy, our first fertility campaign that had to be evacuated because it was not going to go.
That's different because my sister had an ectopic pregnancy.
Ectopic.
Where it's born in the
tube.
The tube.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
That can kill people too.
That's so painful.
And so the cornea is sort of up near where the tubes come in, and it's kind of the same thing. Things rupture, and it can be very devastating. And the baby's not going to make it either way.
I actually had our provider in my C-section take photos of it because I was so curious if it was actually deformed, and the pictures are insane.
Show us a bicornuate uterus, guys. You can. So Moses can take a look at that. There it is. Well, no, there it is. It's sort of a split uterus kind of thing. More that one on the left. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. And you see how if it goes up way in the top there, that's not enough room. If it gets in the middle, you're kind of okay. Right? Kind of get it? You know what you're looking at there?
I have no idea. Okay. I've never seen this before. This is against our religion and God. That's the mark of the beast right there. That's what I'm looking at. I'm looking at the devil's eyes there.
I saw Moses is like, whoa, guys, eyes over a little bit. I'm like,
crest of the labia. That's devil stuff.
Maybe we should get a real picture of real uterus so he gets...
Yeah, this
so we
is
we can
great.
Really bring Moses and all the way into Beelzebub's world.
In a singular dick that's not split in two, a bifurcated.
So there's just regular uteruses and stuff. There's a real uterus down there. All right, anyway. So I don't know, my dear. I totally sympathize with you not wanting to deal with it. I sympathize with how awful malpractice generally is. But I'm sort of PO'd that they're coming after you still with bills when you've had such a traumatic experience and a bad outcome that they figured into. At least they could discharge that. And maybe you want to, you know, call the bill collector there or the office there and go, hey, you know, I'm thinking about a malpractice case here. Maybe you don't want to keep pursuing this. What do you think?
Okay.
Okay. How's the baby now?
He's doing great. I'm holding him right now.
So thank God, right? I mean, thank God that everything. And you said he had a congenital problem. I didn't quite hear what it was.
He did. He had a tracheal-esophageal fistula.
Oh, that's nasty. Yeah. So all the esophageal content gets into the lungs, but they can repair that easy, so that's good. And no one can prove that that was related to all the other shit you were dealing with. So great. It all turned out okay. And so I understand why you don't want to sort of pursue aggressively. And by the way, the amount of the funds you're going to get are going to be relatively limited since everything turned out okay. But still, them coming after you for the bills, I hate that when people do that.
Yeah, especially if you're thinking about taking on attorney fees do it. At the end of the day, it's like, oh, that's what you signed up for. It feels like they have more power in this situation.
All right, I've got a bunch of questions here. Oh, I had some good ones that I thought would convert you all the way into the bowels of hell.
Yeah.
This is interesting. Here's a radiologist. Jafar?
Dr. Drew, can you hear me?
I do. Congratulations on radiology. Are you doing general radiology or interventional, anything specific? You're on with me and Moses Storm, of course.
Diagnostic radiology practicing in the Philly suburbs.
Love it.
Graduate fellowship back in July. So very much enjoying the attending life. The reason I'm calling is that I feel like, and again, we're just after the match season, and you can go into the whole process of that. And residency and fellowship kind of puts healthcare professionals through the meat grinder. I think it's easy to develop really bad habits. Yep. And you being, I'm 33.
Yep.
You're a little, you've got more experience than I do in terms of managing, being both, an attending and getting better, personal habits than the kinds, I don't want to say self-destructive, but the kinds of habits that can develop during residency and fellowship, poor stress and time management, poor sleep habits.
Yep. Don't assume I didn't do it. I did all that. I ended up, not sleeping, barreling through everything and then roaring out into practice 16 hours a day for like 10 years. And I was severe alcoholism, severe. I don't know how my marriage held up through all that.
So I'm trying to get some perspective.
Yeah, I was guilty as any, and then I was teaching and I had leadership positions at hospitals and stuff. And I just kept going. You get kind of addicted to it. It's hard to slow down when you just want to be good and do the right thing and be there all the time and do the best job. And I don't have any good advice really, because it's sort of disingenuous since I did it myself, except to say, at very minimum, you're going to have to slow down at some point. You're going to have to develop good practices, because this is a marathon, not a sprint, and you can't do this for. And
eventually, your body will just shut you down.
Your brain, your body,
everybody gives
up.
You're done.
Yeah. Are you talking about personal for yourself or for how you train your residents and medical students?
No, not even that. I mean, I'm in private practice, and so the idea of residents and medical students is very tangential. It's more. I don't want to fluff myself up too much, because the reality is that, I mean, I'm a radiologist. I'm done work at 4:35. There are 90% of specialties that say, what the hell does this guy have to complain about? But in terms of just like, now that I have more free time than I did in training and obviously more money, I think the temptation is, there's a possibility for the bad habits that develop during residency and fellowship to be either resolved with all of that new freedom or get worse with all of that new freedom, and trying to find strategies on how to mitigate that more productively. Because obviously I can fill in all the free time I have with, I'm just going to stay awake longer, or I'm going to indulge, et cetera, et cetera. Or I can, because I feel like, I mean, since I started, since I graduated med school, I mean, put on 80 pounds. I had three kids instead of one, love them to bits.
Oh,
but my temper is a bit more on a hair trigger, just because more responsibility and et cetera, et cetera. So just trying to figure out productive and better habits to do.
Yeah, I just so sympathetic to what you're going through. There's this weird, I'm of two minds simultaneously. One is, oh my God, I know how this is, and with other kids, and you just got to bear down and get through this period of your life. You just got to bear down. I ended up in therapy. I ended up in the therapist's office by the time I was 33. for it's exactly what you're talking about.
That's how old I am.
What's that?
That's how old I am.
Yeah, that's when my wife called me one day and said, you need to see someone. And of course, I was working in addition to doing hospital care and outpatient medicine, I was doing this work in the psychiatric hospital. And so I was very, you know, tuned into all that stuff. I was like, oh, yeah, I'm going to go. And she goes, no. You need to go. And the hair stood up in the back of my neck. And
right.
I thought, oh, she is serious.
She
and
makes
I said, okay, I'm putting the phone down. I'm going to call somebody. And I did that. And it was the greatest thing I ever did. But Jafar, it is, I had trouble. I'll tell you what I worked on in therapy that got worked through. Perfectionism.
Yeah.
Like crazy.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, I know. Yeah. I know. Perfectionism and inability to delegate. I just couldn't delegate. I'd do everything myself. And it was rough because of that.
I have that at a much lower stakes. But yeah, can't delegate. You're rewarded for how much you work. You get praised for it.
Yeah,
so
yeah.
It's hard to say that it's a bad thing, even though it is overwhelming. It's too
really,
much.
Really, in medicine, it's taken to an art level.
It is. It's like actual people's lives. Mine is bad show.
It's like you're not really a doctor if you're not suffering yourself. It's almost like that. But Jafar, I couldn't have done it without psychotherapy. So, you know, it's easy for me to say, you know, start working out and, you know, get on a proper diet and make sure you're sleeping adequately and time for yourself and your wife. And of course, you know all that. Doing it is a whole different matter.
It sounds like more to do. If you already are overworked and stressed, working out, doing these things, that sounds like another task you're adding to the to-do list.
And especially when you have other things you'd rather be doing.
Oh, God, yeah.
Yeah. So,
but Jafar, I'm really glad you called because it brings me back to my own stuff. I have deep empathy for what you're experiencing. Do me a favor, though, also keep teaching. I'm really concerned about.
Oh, I love it.
Good. I'm very concerned about.
I have enough teaching that it keeps that part of it satisfied, and that I can.
It is a really good part of it. Yeah, it's a very important part of the story. And gosh, I think back to some of my radiology colleagues and what they helped me understand. And for some reason, neuroradiology I was fascinated with. And I just am grateful to this day, some of the stuff that they taught me. And it's just a piece of the puzzle that you got to keep giving back to the generations. And this next generation of physicians, I'm kind of worried about. Just worried a little bit.
Yeah.
So here's another thing we do on this show. We look at videos.
Okay.
Okay, you ready, Moses?
Yeah.
All right. So we're going to look at some TikToks to kind of warm you up.
Okay.
All right.
Are my husband and I polyamorous or E&M, ethically non-monogamous? It turns out the label of my relationship matters to some, so you tell me. My husband and I have been together for 13 years and non-monogamous that entire time. We've been married for 9 and have 2 kids together. We're hierarchical, so we put our relationship first if we ever feel like our marriage or our family is threatened. Luckily, we've never felt like anyone was a threat to us. Anyone we've dated or been with has just added to our lives. Most of our relationships have been casual, especially early on.
Okay,
we had friends with benefits, had fun at swingers clubs, and tended to date people
he not
who
in the video?
Didn't want serious relationships.
Just
or
she
didn't
saying,
want
yeah,
a relationship
she's banging
escalator.
His girlfriend
but between
right
my
now.
Husband and I, we've had three
cabin.
Serious relationships outside of our marriage.
Oh
we
God.
Date separately, and we refer to the people that we're
okay.
dating as either our boyfriend or girlfriend, respectively. Those three people met our kids. One person came on a vacation with us, and the relationships tended to last about a year or more. And yes, we fell in love with them. We have no rules on how long a relationship outside of our marriage can last, but we do have a veto rule. We've only ever used it before our first date. We're reevaluating it because we don't think that it's necessary, but right now, theoretically, either of us can veto any person at any time. We respect the privacy of our partners. We don't share intimate details about other partners with each other.
We've seen this woman before, right? Yeah.
I think the mere fact that you're making the video, you're trying to get approval from
yes,
people.
And rationalizing
the insecure attachment, the jealousy
yes,
that comes up. I have
yes.
so many friends now that's like, we're poly, we're sex liberal, but then there's always problems in that relationship. It's
always.
I'm saying it can't work, but you are inviting so many problems, and clearly if you're going to do this in this abandoned, frozen wasteland, you're trying to get those comments that say, you go, girl, you did it.
Yeah, I you were absolutely right. But whenever I hear people rationalizing and explaining things, that is not what you call authentic. That is not genuine.
Yes.
That is that's thinking, that's defensiveness, that's resistance, that's justifying, that's rationalizing, and that's not real. It's not real. It's not what the human is experiencing.
Some of
it's
your own negative self-talk is in there, too.
You're supposed to experience it. You're convincing yourself you should experience. You want to convince everybody else so you believe it. It's all kind of bullshitty.
How often is it just one person's idea to be non-monogamous?
Oh, my God, typically.
It's always that, right?
Not always. But it is very common that one person is dragged along.
And because they love that person. I want to stay with you. I want to be with you. I guess I'll try this.
One wants to do it. The other accepts it. That's sort of the way it goes. These two sound like they're kind of both into it, whatever. And, I had a couple that...
Was the camera moving? Or was it on a tripod? That would be very important for this relationship. If it's moving, he's filming.
Oh.
It's handheld. Yeah. Then he's approving of all this.
The videos tripod. I've seen her in the past, she's seemed to be alone.
Okay.
Yeah.
Why is she that far in the woods?
He's with his girlfriend.
He's with his real family. Right. She's one of the many girlfriends.
But I had a couple friend of mine that divorced, they were separating recently, and they were very into whatever.
Yeah.
And they loved each other and lasted a long time. And I just thought, well, maybe here's a couple for whom it works. Even this couple doesn't work.
I knew a couple in Brooklyn that they were going to sex parties. They were hosting sex parties. They were the entertainment. They were the people that the kindling of the fire that got it going for everyone else in their personal relationship. As cool and as open they are not having sex. It's maybe hand jobs every once in a while, and then it became nothing. And
it's pathetic. It's sad.
And then so some of it is you're trying to hold on to that identity and overcompensate.
It's all compensation. It's so much compensation. I wish it worked. It'd be great if this stuff was real and worked and you could start a new sect for your mom.
Right?
Yeah, it just doesn't work. It just doesn't work for humans. Humans are not wired up for this. What about, I see this, something called puking from smoking. And we're going to bring Moses into the real, your mom's house.
Yeah, here we go. it's like falling down puking is one of the funniest things because it's so ruined.
So he's smoking weed, right? Yeah, that's hyperemesis. That's cannabis hyperemesis. It usually
have you thrown up in public? Like
that
around a social situation.
That's it usually comes when you take a big hit and then they vomit right afterwards.
Yeah, just one and then it's just too much smoke at one time.
No, but that's the cannabis hyperemesis thing. That's what it is. What are you talking about? What
the
do you mean?
The dog calls that Thursday.
If you take a big hit and vomit, that is the cannabis syndrome. It's not that he was coughing, and then threw up as part of the coughing. He took a huge hit. I've seen this after dabs mostly when people... Here we go. Condition leads to repeated and severe amounts of vomiting. It's rare. Not rare. It's very common.
So it's not the coughing. I'm learning something in real time.
The coughing can do that.
Okay.
But that those people are like cough, and then vomit. This was, boom, spontaneous vomit. My daughter, after dabbing in my home, vomited all over the wall. She had no idea. Just like that. Doesn't know it's coming. It just, boom, it just comes.
A projectile vomit, because you feel like a cough, but what's happening is that one hole, that's not the esophagus, is relaxing too much?
They don't know what causes they call it cannabis hyperemesis. That is somewhat of a misnomer. It's not as though people with the cannabis syndrome vomit all the time or a lot even. They just vomit regularly.
This video seemed like best case scenario to be throwing up in public. They're in some back alley of like where they do a bad drug deal in a low-budget action movie.
It's where they thought it was cool when he had a gigantic snot hanging out of his nose.
Yeah, that's what happened that day. When they talk about what happened today, oh, fucking Tyler threw up.
There you go.
Have you thrown up in a official words, a doctor function? You're at some fancy banquet. No, I'm picturing a scene from Batman, but you're at some
I've not had any embarrassing vomiting episodes that I can remember.
No dates, nothing. There's never been an inappropriate time.
Not that I remember. In this room the other day, was it with Rich Voss? We were looking at some stuff that almost made me throw up.
Was it his career?
So let's look at Bert playing guitar. That's funny.
Oh, someone's saying this is Bert Kreischer?
Yes.
Oh my God.
The belly reminds us of Bert.
Yeah.
But that would be a
shirtless on stage. This would happen at a Bert show.
a pretty good guitar player, though, right?
Yeah.
Anybody else bother? You're a young man. Anybody else bothered by the fact that people who play rock music should be like in assisted living?
Yeah.
Isn't that kind of odd?
Some of the Rolling Stones, it's hard to say like how much of the drug use is aging them.
But they're old.
But they do look like the California Raisins.
Yeah. And but even that guy, I mean, they still think of themselves as they were when they were 22.
And what is that? I don't think you have to grow up if you're a performer.
I guess that's right. But I wondered if young people were bothered by it. It bothers me a little bit, but whatever. They can do what they want. But if I were young, I'd be like, what the fuck?
Yes. That age of that clip, exactly, that bothers us.
Yeah.
I think 10 years from that, if he's 10 years older, then it's cool again. Like, that old guy can get down. But
oh
this
my
is
God.
Like a, this is teetering on sad.
Okay, you've given me hope. All right. There's hope
so
for me.
So you will get cooler later. Drew threw up on the show.
So if I can, like... have a walker, then
yes.
then it's cred. All right, interesting.
Yeah, I think you start doing TikTok pranks in okay. the next 10 years.
So speaking of
throwing
TikTok,
up on people.
TikTok, maybe we should head back to TikTok, see what's going on out there.
I was with Bert on Sober October.
Oh my gosh, what is
okay,
this?
Okay, this is tricky, honey. Is that what it looks
so,
like?
So, hang on a second. So it looks like it's a tracheotomy. That's where tracheotomies are, but she,
what?
She's sending stuff down the esophagus and then
yeah,
out that hole.
Cause that's I have a different, terrible acid reflux. So what, how do these holes work down there?
Well, you have this, the esophageal gastroesophageal junction,
yeah.
which has a gasket. Right?
And it's like a sphincter almost.
Sphincter. It is
right?
not almost. It is a sphincter.
It is a sphincter.
Yeah.
Okay.
And it, as you get older, it can loosen. But if you get acid up in the esophagus, it loosens also. So it makes it, so it keeps going, makes it worse.
So
and that's
it keeps
the hard part.
Making it worse. The more I get acid reflux.
Yeah. So
the
you, that's why you got to use the, whatever you're
doing
taking.
Baking them. Soda. It tastes terrible.
Take some Pepsi.
Tums is fine.
Take
someone send
Tums
on
don't
some.
Don't work very well. Gaviscon, no. pretty good. Take some. Just get 40 milligrams of Pepsi. Take the Pepsi.
Okay. And those medicines are safe again because a couple
it's
years ago
counter.
Zantac had like
Zantac.
Some...
I never like Zantac because it's an odd molecule and I've always stayed away from it.
Oh, but it's a different formula than
completely.
The okay.
Completely.
So Prilosec is the one.
Zantac is closer to an antifungal medicine than to Pepsi, which is closer to Benadryl.
This explains my chlamydia. Yeah.
Pepsi is close to Benadryl. It's really very mild.
But is it drowsy? What if I have a
no.
show and
no.
I get
no,
pop that and
you're
I'll
fine.
Be fine?
You're fine. You're fine.
Oh,
it's
my God. If I horizontal after eating even 4 hours, then it's the worst acid ever. So she was throwing that Diet Coke down a hole. How?
And coming out it must be an esophageal sort of connection of some type. Why should have an esophageal connection to her neck? I don't know, maybe she had a tracheal plug in that was a tracheostomy, and she has a way of shunting past the trachea to the neck.
I wish it was water. I wish it wasn't.
Because usually, tracheostomies go right into the trachea. You know, when
okay.
you put people's you just go from the skin to the trachea. You don't go to the esophagus. So weird. That's a good one though. I like that. Odd.
And that'll be using the malpractice suit later for
how about that?
The doctor opening that
for
up.
Ariel, what do you got here now? TikTok.
Puking from smoke. Okay, we skipped right over.
Oh my god.
Savage.
Oh my god.
That's hard to watch. That's hard to watch. I can do puking, but the snot is a thing.
I'm kind of with you.
It's my least favorite part of porn, which is like the cum comes out. Like white stuff coming
you.
Out of a body is yeah. disgusting.
Well, it's all this mucopolysaccharide. Things snot and semen are the same thing essentially.
That's my big connection there.
Yeah.
That's what the thing of like that's disgusting.
Yeah.
I don't know why that's the end of the porn.
Like where your eyes are watering.
That's really upsetting. This is your mom's house. But yeah, I just feel the same way. And it's just like, get it all over her.
Yeah,
get it all over her tits. Like, no, cut that out.
This guy's a gentleman.
To prove that it came out.
Moses is a gentleman, I tell you. Your mom's raised you right.
Yeah.
She could have sent you to school.
Didn't tell
us
anything about sex. I literally learned from you on Loveline, secretly listening in the closet.
Oh, so we didn't really finish that story. So when you were living in the, not in the closet, but you were living in the garage, right?
There was like an offset that we called
the
closet of that garage, where it was just like a couple of room dividers up, and I slept on a beanbag chair that we found in the dumpster.
Nice. And then your brothers and you would listen in there.
We would listen because we were trying to stay up for the rerun of Friends that would play.
Oh, interesting. But you were not allowed to watch TV.
No, but we had a secret small TV, and we'd wait till my mom went into the main house with her boyfriend to go start the band.
Is she still with that guy?
No, not at all. Not at all.
She had multiple other relationships.
Oh, many other boyfriends after that. I think it's a really isolating feeling if your partner has no sexual interest in you, and it could do a lot on your psyche to be like, am I not attractive?
Is that her? So he picks women that aren't interested. Men that aren't interested in her?
I think after their divorce, she overcorrected as a way to get that validation of her looks again. I'm not just a mom. My body's not gone.
Interesting.
So multiple partners.
Got it.
That was her in the snow video. Talking about her polyamory.
Good insight. Are there any more TikToks?
Yes.
I'll take the video questions after that too. So.
Oh yeah, let's go over to those.
Okay.
If you're a butt doctor, please stop scrolling.
Oh.
If I have a cut on my arm and I place feces inside it, it will get infected. But if I have a cut or a hemorrhoid on my butthole, when feces slides past it, it does not infect it. Why does the butthole wound not get infected, but an arm wound would get infected if feces were placed inside of it? Thank you.
So this is the leader of our cult. It's a fair question.
Your uncle?
Yeah,
uncle.
That's my great uncle. that's the real question there.
So he needs to be sure to use that mind for good. So the obviously the tissue down there is very carefully evolved to be able to handle the bacteria and whatnot that live around there. And you don't normally get wounds down there that are deep enough to have really stuff penetrate. But you can, and it does get infected. It does.
What if
you're
trying to sneak a razor blade onto a plane?
Then you're going to have problems. You're going to have all kinds of problems. But yes, it does. If you get deep enough, you're going to have trouble. It can get infected. Fistulas.
But you're saying there's enough antibacterial or enough white blood cells to kill whatever's down there?
No. The skin, the it's just a different sort of...
The veins aren't as close to the epidermis of the skin?
The structure is deeper.
I'm really pushing my no education to the limit here.
Because you can get a fissure, but the fissure doesn't go down into the subdermis so much. So it's really
look into your eyes, Drew, I can tell how much I don't know just the human body. Because it's not me, it's just a level of concern in your eyes of like, oh no, that's not when a man comes his ball into a woman's vagina.
And comes his ball?
He comes one of the balls, right? And then the baby falls out of her butt. And the stork eats the baby.
You're worse than these guys in the other room. Oh my God, it's fantastic. All right, other video, medical video.
Here we go.
So you know that trend where doctors on TikTok can diagnose you? For the last 2 years, my fingers look like this when it's cold outside.
See the white
finger? But it's only my middle finger on my left hand.
Yep.
The only way I can get it to go away is by running it under hot water.
And then it gets red.
What? I mean, are we talking like, am I going to lose my finger if I let this keep going and I don't go to the doctor? I don't know.
So Michael Jackson was just under cold water?
No, she just didn't use her middle finger enough, so it just fell off.
So it has a name that is called the Raynaud's phenomenon. R-A-Y-N-A-U-D-S.
Okay, sounds like a Game of Thrones spinoff.
It is similar. And it can be in an isolated phenomenon, like it looks like the case with her, or it can be part of rheumatic diseases.
And is that like a chameleon where it's just on the surface, or is that something that's internal?
There it is.
In the bloodstream.
So it's the bloodstream. So you get really significant constriction. See it in that fourth finger down there with the white?
Yeah.
Doesn't that look just like hers?
Yeah.
Yep.
And would that feel like your hand fell asleep on just that finger?
It can get kind of achy sometimes, but usually nothing. And it can go kind of blue, too. You see some of them are blue. That kind of goes that way.
That's cool. That's rave fingers.
That is
nice.
That's pretty cool. I've never seen the blue ones. But, yep, there you go. And I saw something else on the board there that sort of looked intriguing. You see what I'm saying?
She's not going to lose that finger.
Make him nut 7 times a day.
I am familiar with this one. This has
been, seen this video?
Yes, this has been all the rage on Twitter the past, I would say, a good week.
I think Moses is like, yes, that's my jam.
This is my jam. This
proud
is my
thing that all these women have going on. I mean, I don't knock women for feeling proud and for wanting to have, you know, that girl power and holding things over him. But no, you've got to give it up, lady. I please my man in every way. All the ways. Wake him up. He gets to nut. Before he leaves out the door, he's leaving empty nuts. At work, I am calling him like, come outside, it's your lunch break. It's time for you to get your nut off. When he gets home, he's getting fed. He is getting another nut and one before bed, or two if he's lucky. That's it. That's a secret. I make sure that my man nuts at least 6 or 7 times a day.
Hey, Robbie, your girlfriend's outside. She says she wants you to nut in the Jiffy Lube parking lot. Jesus Christ.
Oh, my God. It's so funny.
One, you can tell he's nutting currently because they couldn't get proper audio to plug that mic in.
But first of all, the guy can keep up with that. Impressive. It seems to me, do you see that, like, she's up to something? And it kind
this of feels like what it's called a pick-me girl. It's a new phenomenon. It's like someone that is pretending to be like, I'm down with the boys. I love sex. And it's great as a way to be like, yes.
I think it's a little different. I get what you're saying, but I think the other theory is, oh, look at that. Noun, pick me girl.
Yeah.
Woman who asserts that she is unlike and sometimes
I'm not like
than
the other girls.
Other women. I see.
I'm not like a prude. And it seems like, again, with the video of the polyamory, like the girl in the...
She was a pick me girl too, right?
It was a thing of like, if you're talking about it, if you're bragging about it, if you feel the need to do it, this is probably not a real thing.
I told you, your mom educated. You just didn't know it.
Well, it was actually the Dark Lord Krondor, and I have some pamphlets for you.
So, did you save any of the stuff? You guys
and
used
I couldn't nut
out?
That many times. I only got 2 of the balls, so I would have to. Where is he making these balls?
We have to. I think I'm going to have to do a little physiology lesson for Moses.
Wait,
here.
Next up, you should give me like a proper sex ed.
Let's get the male genitalia track here. Let's get the
There's so much I don't know about my own setup.
Okay, we'll tell you. But she looks to me like somebody who's afraid her boyfriend will stray.
Yes.
So she has to make sure everything's depleted all the time.
Yes, and it seems like he chose that outfit too. That's like a male outfit of like, this is what a woman wears.
Yep.
I used to draw my own porn.
Oh, well, that's all you had.
Because there was no internet.
Yes.
So I drew my own, but I had to draw from guesses.
Yeah, it is kind of a ship.
Yeah, this is like if you
suit.
Were, like, this is like he chose it.
I like the way she's only using the mic sideways. It's very strange.
Right, and it's definitely not plugged in, if you heard the audio on that.
But let's get back to my physiology, or at least anatomy
please,
lesson
please,
here.
Please. What are we looking
so,
at here?
So, keep that, going. I don't like any of those very much.
And we're looking at the clit here, right?
The clit?
That's
a penis.
Okay. What if it's much smaller than... Okay.
This is going to be harder than I expected. That blue one in the middle, the male reproductive system. Let's see if we can get a big... Okay. So you see the testes, right, where it says testicle, right?
Yeah.
And then there's a little tube that goes up to... See the bladder, and at the base of the bladder is the prostate gland? Gosh, I need like a pointer.
You know what I really don't understand is when you get a vasectomy, why stuff still comes out?
Because the stuff is not produced from your testicles.
Okay.
It's bladder full of cum.
It's
produced
mixed
from the
like
prostate gland. Prostate produces all the fluid.
So what is that goo and why is that coming out? That's just a delivery system. That's
delivery
a
delivery system and immune system and delivery system. The testicles produce tiny little sperm cells that drip into the fluid that are stored in the seminal vesicles. Show me seminal vesicles.
And is this happening in that one moment of ejaculation, or this
No. It's
your body's like it's coming.
It's
sprinkling the semen on the goop.
So shoot, sprinkle in the semen on the goop. Go
that's
go
the
far
episode.
Right at the
Mark,
top.
Mark, isolate that, Chad.
We got to clip it.
You wonder where these clips come from. The second one in on the top. The there you go. So that is that. The on top of that sits the bladder. Okay.
On top of
those, see the thing that's cut in half that looks like a sourdough bread or something.
Yeah.
Okay. That's the on the left is the structure. On the right is it cut.
Get
in
to
half.
The penis.
And that's the seminal vesicles where everything is stored, all the fluid, and where the semen gets mixed in, the sperm gets mixed in.
Sprinkle on the goop.
Sprinkle the goop.
Sprinkle the goop.
Sprinkle the goop. And then when you ejaculate it, it's
oh my god. So okay, then it trickles down into the actual prostate.
No, the prostate is everything's getting into the vesicles. Okay. It's going up into the vesicles and then dripping as you call it.
So that's working like a NutriBullet up there where it's mixing it. NutriBullet.
It's not really any mixing that... yeah, there must be some mixing. I don't know the physiology.
It's not mixing, but your body knows before you ejaculate, maybe seconds before to start, or it's already mixed that.
It's already mixed. And the prostate, the more aroused you are, sort of the more fluid it produces. So you can like start producing more in a few minutes very quickly.
So if you were to get a vasectomy, it would cut off that process.
See the thing that says vas deferens?
Yeah.
That's what sprinkles the stuff on the goo. And that's where you tie off. That's what
you tie that off.
Yeah.
So then you just get your goo.
You just get the goo, right. Yeah. And I have a prostate cancer, so I've had my prostate out. So I don't produce fluid at all.
That's one way to do it. That's the scariest way to get a vasectomy.
It's not. Well,
I had to think about my father.
It's a bigger surgery, but it's nice and neat.
Yeah.
Just blowing loads.
Yeah, there's no loads.
So 40 is when guys should start looking, or you should 50. Look early?
Unless you have a first degree relative with prostate cancer, 50 is where you do
it. And what are some signs? Like if I start, every time I ejaculate, I can't stop sneezing. What is that?
That's because you probably have with arousal also. You've got a lot of very rich blood vessels in the...
Wait, this is a real thing?
Yeah. In the septum of the nose, and when you dilate with arousal, they start leaking fluid, and that makes you sneeze.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. Yeah.
So this happens to more people.
By the way, and Viagra and Cialis, stuffy nose is one of the side effects.
Oh, my God.
How about that? All right, really quickly.
It's so embarrassing, but as an adult, I have learned so much today in a very real way.
I'm glad to have been a part of it. Alex, what's going on, my friend?
Hey, how you doing, Dr. Drew?
What's up?
So my question is there any permanent damage or long-term effects from sitting on the toilet so long that my legs go numb? Does that cause any damage in the long-term room?
Relationship damage, but no, I wouldn't say.
Relationship with God, maybe?
Yeah.
No.
Just
so,
partner.
Yeah, that is just your legs falling asleep from pressure, just like if you crossed your legs. Now, if you spent hours on the toilet and you had trouble regaining the feeling in your leg, yeah, I mean, you can crush the nerve. You can do that, but it's really difficult to do it. You'd have to spend like, you don't sort of have to be unconscious to be able
How
to do
long,
long
could
enough.
Your legs go without the blood flow? Not obviously no blood flow is going to die.
Yeah. I mean, it's really,
but they're restricted.
So we see this kind of stuff when people overdose and they lie on a limb, right? Really. I mean, the nerves get crushed. That's sometimes what happens. But the main thing that happens, the muscle gets crushed. And so you get something called rhabdomyolysis. And so it's very hard to cut off the blood supply to a limb. I mean, if you don't have blood supply limit, a few hours, it's in big trouble.
But just
big
the feeling trouble. Of your legs falling asleep, or that's no long-term damage. No, that's just the tape.
I mean, again, you can crush the nerve. It's possible, you know, if you really work at it, if you have huge body weight, yeah. You know. But
the concerning
very
thing
unlikely.
Is what's in the diet that is making you spend so much time.
Or maybe just why so much time?
Distractions on the phone and silent time away from the wife.
Jacking off.
Yeah. Sprinkle the nut on the juice.
All right, my friend. Thank you very much. All right. Well, Moses, this was fun. I'm glad
this
I could
so
add to your education.
So legitimately educational.
So it's good. And guys, anything for you guys before I wrap this all up? This was fun.
Yeah, this was great. Had a fun time. I think we all learned about the dick today.
Yeah, I'm performing here, and then I have a special on HBO Max called Trash White that I wrote,
Trash
directed,
White.
Built the set.
Fantastic. It's a stand-up special?
Stand-up special,
on
yeah.
On HBO?
Yeah.
HBO Max? Can I get
HBO
it there?
HBO Max, yeah.
Okay. Trash White. Not white trash,
white.
But trash white.
Trash white. You get that?
Do you? I get it. Do you relay some of your story there?
Yes. Yeah, we talk about growing up well below the poverty line, what that was like, some of the stories about my family.
It's got to be good.
Working on part two right now for that, because I left it on a cliffhanger. To be continued.
I can't wait.
On that one.
Was your mom at the filming?
No, didn't want her there.
One day I'll meet her.
You will. I can't. I would pay any amount for this Patreon-only episode.
All right, Bo. Great to have you. Thanks so much, and we'll see you all next time.
All conversations and information exchanged during participation of the Dr. Drew After Dark podcast or interaction on the DrDrew.com website is intended for educational and entertainment purposes only. Do not confuse this with treatment or physician medical advice or direction per se. You must always follow your medical professional's advice and direction. Nothing on these podcasts or posted on this site supplements or supersedes the relationship and direction of your medical caretakers.
Please understand, I am not playing the role of physician in this environment per se. I'm educating. I am a licensed physician with specialty boards in American Board of Internal Medicine and American Board of Addiction Medicine.